Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to bless us today in wisdom and knowledge that we might follow in the steps of our Lord Jesus, being disciples of his and doing his works. He said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." So we are called to do his works, Lord, and we thank you for empowering us and giving us wisdom to do just that. Amen. So I'm going to continue on, and I'm going to do part two of They Shall Cast Out Demons. Now, this isn't a really in-depth study, but I believe that people out there need to be exhorted that this is a job for you as a disciple of Christ. In part one, we saw what is the best foundation for casting out demons. And we found that mostly to be holiness and faith. You know, 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." We can always stay in right standing with God through repentance and faith. It goes under the blood, even our failures. But the Lord says in Mark 16:17, "And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons." So, as we saw, it's the job of all believers to cast out demons. And, of course, believers should be disciples of Christ. And I'd like to answer the question, what are demons? Because there's a lot of confusion out there, but it doesn't have to be. We just can believe what the Bible says. Contrary to some opinions, they are fallen angels, according to the Scriptures. Psalm 78:49 says, "And he cast upon them," that was his rebellious people, "the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble." In case you don't know what those are, he goes on to say, "a band of angels of evil." Yes. Yes, God does use the demons to chasten his people when they're in rebellion. And these are demon spirits who are used by God to judge sinners and sometimes humble his ministers. Not necessarily these demons, but other demons can do that. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. I should point out here that these demons that Paul spoke about here were to weaken him, not to pervert him or put sin in him or any of these things. That's what they were permitted to do. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9 says, "And by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted over much." In other words, he didn't want people to build up the man so much. And of course, he didn't want any pride to get into him so much. It goes on to say, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger." The word messenger there is the word angelos, or angel. And it's translated angel 181 times out of 188 occurrences. And actually, you can put angel in there any time, because they are messengers of the Lord, just like he has earthly messengers too. Okay. So there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, that I should not be exalted over much. Concerning this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So this was a demon that was weakening him in some way. Okay, some people have this theory and that. I don't want to enter into that right now. But most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So he admits that this wasn't necessarily a bad effect on him. He would have liked to have had all of his personal power with him, but the Lord says, no, your power, my power is made perfect in your weakness, right? In Revelation 12, 7 through 9, another text here which speaks of these angels of evil or the devil's angels, right? And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels. Okay, so the dragon, of course, we find out is Satan in a body of people, and he is warring with his angels against God's angels. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, and the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. Angels. So these demons rebelled against God and were kicked out of the third heaven down to the second heaven, and here in this case, down to the earth. Yes. We are seeing on a large scale now rebellion and faction in the church and in the government. As demons rebelled against God, so do their demonized hosts. It is a spirit of rebellion. All demons are spirits of rebellion against God and against his people and against his leadership. And this rebellion is against all authority, and it is against the laws of the church, which is the word, and the laws of the government, being the Constitution. You see many judges going their own way, doing what they want to do. And, of course, that needs to be stopped. Y'all need to pray that in, that these people are dealt with, either through man's system or through God's. Anyway, so rebellious people are demonized people. And all authority is from God and must be obeyed, even governmental authority. Romans 13, 1 through 5 says, let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Yes, and by the way, that was written in the days when some very evil people were ruling the world. But God put them there for a purpose. And whether they're good or whether they're bad, they're put there by God. It says so. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore, he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God. That's right. And that, see, some people rebelled against God's word and fought against these powers. And, of course, they were squashed in those days and in these days too. And they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. Now, this is God's word. He says those people that don't obey the ordinance of God through whoever he ordained to power will receive judgment. For rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. And wouldst thou have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise from the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, an avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. Now, you know, Christians can't avenge with wrath like that, but God can use vessels of dishonor to do so, and he does. So he says, submit to him. Wherefore you must needs be in subjection, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. Amen. Be subject. So let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers. Is that true in the church? Of course. And you say, well, David, I might still be one of these dead religious persons if I'd obeyed that when I was under these people. No, you just go to a different grade. You graduate from the first grade to the second, to the third, and so on. And you just move over and subject yourself to some other power. But while you're there, you know, don't do things that are rebellious, and don't do things, I mean, not that you can't say you're what you believe and so on and so forth, but don't rebel or cause other people to rebel. Cause them to grow up and outgrow the playpen. That's a good thing to do. Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things them that are your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. And Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit to them. Of course, this is talking about God's Christian church. For they watch in behalf of your souls as they that shall give account. See, some people are stubborn and rebellious because they've received demons because they did not obey the word of God and they were turned over to the devil. Yeah. And they that they may do this with joy and not with grief. For this were unprofitable for you. In other words, God's going to make it hurt for you, you know, because you give grief to these people who are serving him. Whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And Romans 2:8 says, but unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation. And I tell you, a massive wave of wrath and indignation is coming for these demonized people. Because they rebelled against God, they became demonized, right? Should we fear to cast out demons? Well, I've never been hurt in any way casting out demons. Our Lord Jesus delivered us out of the powers of darkness, right? The demon spirits and their effects. When he delivered us from sin. Colossians 1:13 says, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We need to continue walking in that kingdom. We might be little. It doesn't make any difference whether you're little or older in the Lord. You still have to be serving to the best of your knowledge. You know, you need to serve to the best of your knowledge. Now, we can use this knowledge and promise to manifestly deliver ourselves from these dark powers through faith. These spirits administer the curse upon mankind because of rebellion against the word. But Jesus delivered us from sin and its resulting curse. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's the curse that comes upon you for disobeying the law, right? Or the word of God. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So, since this is so, we've been given dominion over these forces. Luke 9:1 speaks about how he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And 10:19, he tells them that I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Amen? So we have to remember that and believe that. It only works if you believe it. And we should be doing everything our Lord Jesus did. He was our example. And as we saw in part one, he taught his disciples to go out and make disciples and teach them to obey everything Jesus told those first disciples. So therefore, it should have been passed all the way down to us, right? And Jesus went on to say, Luke 11:23, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. So you're either going to be gathering or you're going to be scattering. That means you are either going to be on the attack or you are going to be on the run. The word scattereth there is from the Greek word skorpizo. And this is where we get the English word scorpion. It's from the same root as the Greek word skorpios, meaning to penetrate and put to flight. So, to penetrate and put to flight. In other words, there are demons that serve Satan in order to get Christians on the run. You know, when a scorpion stings with its tail, it penetrates and it puts to flight because of the pain and the misery it inflicts. And Jesus spoke about scorpions in Luke 10:19. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing in any wise shall hurt you. Okay, so if you're taking authority over the demons and not submitting to them, obviously, they're not going to hurt you. But you have to believe it, right? And if you believe and not fear, they can't hurt you. And in the kingdom of the devil, scorpion spirits make you run from them. These are spirits like fear and paranoia and rejection and with its fear. All these are types of fears. All these types of fears make us victims of the devil and should be treated like demons and cast out. As we hear in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. And although righteous people do cast out demons without being filled with the Spirit, I suggest everyone gets filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidences. The Spirit of God will lead you in casting out demons, and He will impart power and authority to you. This is going to look like I'm saying the opposite, but I'm not. I was once ministering in a mission church when a deacon came to me saying that a man in the mission had been filled with demons and he was going to cast them out. And I sensed he was full of himself and not the Spirit. So I suggested he get filled with the Spirit first. And he evidently ignored me because the preacher there called me to tell me that he had gone to the mission and attempted to cast out the demons. And the demonized man jumped up and chased him through the plate glass door, very thick glass. I didn't know you could break it like that, in the front of the mission, shattering it and cutting himself up. I'm guessing the man probably shoved him through it. But let me say, this guy was not a disciple. He was just full of himself. He was doing what he normally had done in the world, now in the church. So anyway, this man screamed for the first Christian who passed by. While he was laying there on the ground, and to get the demons off of him. And this young Christian, who didn't know anything about this, had never seen anything like this or done anything like this, commanded the demons to loose him, and they did. Good lesson there, right? You can do it as a baby Christian. But there was more Christian in that man than there was in this deacon. So, but the deacon ended up going to a hospital. Yeah. And this scared the preacher. And he was the preacher, right? So he's supposed to know something. But it scared the preacher, who then called me and asked me if I would go and exorcise the man. And I said, okay. And the preacher and his secretary followed behind me. But they stopped at the door on the end of this long room and watched as I marched through the room to the end where a man named Jim was. And when Jim saw me approaching, he just rose up like a big old bear. That's the only thing I could describe. He seemed much bigger than what he was. And he had both of his arms reached out to grab me as his features changed. And that does happen with some demons. They have that power. And immediately, I just shouted, "Sit!" And he immediately did just that, just like an obedient puppy, sat down there. What they want to do is scare you. They want to put you on the run, you know. And if they can't do that, there's not much they can do, and they know it. So I was casting demons out of him when the Spirit told me, this is one reason why having the Holy Spirit and not just being dependent upon your mind is so important. You know, I'm not saying it's always necessary. You may be in a situation you haven't been filled with the Spirit yet, but where somebody needs you, don't be afraid to do it if you're a disciple of Jesus, right? So I was casting them out of him when the Spirit told me that the demons came in through the TV. So I looked at his TV and I said, "Jim, what are you watching on this TV?" And he showed me some skin flicks that he had had. So I was casting those demons out too. And then the demons asked to enter the dog. And I looked around the room and I saw no dog. So I told them to enter into the nearest cockroach. And I'm very sure until this day that there's a crazy cockroach out there somewhere. But I didn't know till it was all over that there was a dog on the other side of the wall where a woman was visiting her husband in the same facility with her pet. So I'm glad I didn't say okay. Then the demon wanted to enter the secretary, you know, who was still standing back at the door watching all this, you know, with the preacher. And this kind of made me suspicious of her and the preacher. You know, fear, love casts out fear, right? But these two feared. And I found out later that they were having some kind of an affair, which would give the demons permission over them. And they rightly waited at the door, but it wasn't far enough. They wanted to enter into the woman, and I didn't permit them. But I don't imagine it matters how far away you are. If you're open to demons, you're open to demons, right? So I ended up casting out many demons there of all kinds, because a lot of people who end up in those places many times have many problems. And so it kept me quite busy for some time. Let me ask this question. As an example, should all demons be cast out? Well, anyone who repents may have their demons cast out. In Paul's case, above, it was a demon to weaken him, not to pervert him, as comes on sinners. Those who are in willful disobedience are many times turned over to demons for a time to chasten them, in hopes that they would repent. And you know, Hebrews 10:26 and 27 says, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins. In other words, the blood of Jesus doesn't cover that, right? So, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. In other words, they can reckon judgment is coming. And a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 9 says, it is actually reported that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not even among the Gentiles, that one of you hath his father's wife, and you're puffed up, and did not rather mourn, that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, being absent in body, but present in spirit, meaning, of course, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, which is omnipresent, and knows what's going on there, and knows how to give judgment there, etc., etc. Have already, as though I were present, judged him that hath so wrought this thing. In the name of our Lord Jesus, you being gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So you see, God works all things after the counsel of his own will. He's in control of vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, contrary to what a lot of people believe. And he uses vessels of dishonor just like he uses vessels of honor. They do his will. And one thing they do is they chasten rebellious people so that they will repent. In other words, they're brought under the curse until they repent. And the demons, of course, administer the curse. So, and these kind of demons, you know, when a person's been delivered over to Satan, they either won't come out, or if they do, to honor your faith, they will come back until there's repentance. And this man repented, and was received back into the fold in 2 Corinthians. So it worked. And God does this all the time. This is not a strange thing. Those who refuse the word of correction, but continue in willful disobedience, are turned over to demons for reprobation, which means to be rejected by God. Romans 1:28, let's see, through 32. And even as they refuse to have God in their knowledge, in other words, they cast down the word of God, the word of correction, the word that would have kept them safe, you know. God gave them up unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. I mean, these are names of demons. They will use what they do as a name sometimes. Full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinance of God that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. How does a person get in that bad a shape? They had their own self-will, and they refused to listen to God. That's what it says. And he turned them over to this reprobate mind, which is turning them over to demons. And it gets worse and worse and worse until they repent or die and go to hell. How do we cast out demons? Well, as we saw, in my name, they shall cast out demons. In my name, of course, can be using the name of Jesus. I do it regularly. It gives honor to him and not to me, right? But a deeper meaning is clearly here also. Name in the Greek means nature, character, and authority. I believe that nature means according to the principles of the Word. In other words, in the name means walking according to the principles of the Word, which is the nature of Jesus. I believe that character means the way Jesus would do it. In his character, he is our example, right? And authority means according to the authority given to us by Jesus to cast out demons. Jesus gave us examples of this. So it's not just saying the name, it's being in the name, right? And then, of course, it's best to identify the demons. The Lord could lead you a quicker way. He sometimes does. He has with me before, but not always. But I guess because he wants everything to be confessed by the person, and he wants them to cooperate first and to agree with you. Because if two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done, right? And they need to come against the demons just as you do it. They should do that, right? So it's first good to identify the demons. And this does not mean that we have to know their name, although that's very useful and causes them to lose their grip. Demons can be identified by their nature and character that they impose upon people. For example, the list that we just read is an example, filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. You can use that nature as their name. And sometimes they use that too when you ask them for their name. They use their nature of what they do. But they also can have a name, a regular name, okay? Full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whispers. That's all demons. Those are demons. Backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful. These are all demons. They do these things in the people and bring them to reprobation if they don't repent. And of course, there's many more, many names. There's more than people put in their deliverance books. In the same text, lust demons are given to the rebellious. Romans 1:24-27. Wherefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. Okay, there are various lusts, you know, that can be names too, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Here, they changed God's word. They did what they wanted to do. They obeyed iniquity instead of the Lord. And so God turned them over to the devil and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them up unto vile passions. For their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. So, in the faction rebellion, in the government, and in the church, demons of vile passions are being revealed. Lusts of homosexuality, bisexuality, pedophilia, lusts for the opposite sex also are given. So, just a talk with the demonized person can identify much of the problem if they will confess their sins and be forgiven. Otherwise, God can give discerning of spirits or word of knowledge of the demons and their names, right? And he does that. And we should always pray when we're going, because we're not really counting on our own ability or wisdom. We're counting on the Spirit, right? So we also should pray before we go to do this. Also, we can demand in the name of Jesus that they tell us their name. The demonized persons can help you in this because sometimes they hear the name internally when the demon speaks, when he answers you, right? And sometimes they speak through the person to us and tell us their name. And sometimes they give their name as the nature of the sin as we have seen. Sometimes they give names of people that they have previously inhabited, which can be foreign or ancient names. I've many times heard the demons speaking out of the person telling of their sins. They did this and they did that. In other words, it's an excuse why I can be here, why I'm legal to be in here, you know. They want to give that. But, of course, when the person themselves hears these things, they are quick to repent and confess it. So the demon is working against himself many times when they do that. I've seen this happen. And, of course, this can then be repented of by the person and then cast out. Sometimes the demons speak lies, in which case you can command them to speak only the truth or just shut up. The demonized person often can feel where the demon is in their body by unusual effects like pain or queasiness or pressure, and you can command them out of that area and out of their body. The more you know, the more they seem to lose power against you. They lose their grip, right? It's very abnormal for only one demon to be in a person. I don't know if I've ever run across that, actually. They always invite their kin to come in with them. And certain demons act well with certain other demons to bring about a bondage to the person, right? So this can increase in number until the person repents. You know, God can turn up the pressure and turn up the pressure until the person is willing to repent. And if they continue going in that way, they could be destroyed, reprobated and destroyed. Some people, like the Gadarene demoniac, are not mentally conscious enough to make a decision or be cognizant of what they are doing or saying. And sometimes they have no control over what they do or say. In such cases, the minister of the deliverance can go it alone and command the demons out so that the person can choose God. You know, the Lord put us in authority. And if you know this, that you have this authority, the demons know it too. They kind of read you, kind of like a dog might read you. They can understand if you're fearful, and they take advantage of that. So, if demons attempt to be violent, command them to stop and to sit down. You have authority. If they ramble on or start bragging on you like they did to Jesus, just tell them to shut up. Jesus did. Sometimes they will express hatred towards you. Either way, you need to control the conversation. And by the way, don't accept your demonology or doctrines from demons. I've heard about doctrines that deliverance people have received from demons as though they were the truth, you know. And, well, you never know that. So that's not something you could take anywhere but from the scriptures, right? And often they will tell you that they have a right to be in there, right? But if a person has confessed their sin, they're under the blood, and the demons have no rights. And you should know that, and you should find that out. If they have a legal right through willful disobedience, the person probably needs to repent if they're cognizant, and in order to get deliverance. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So a person who gets cleansed of unrighteousness has a right to be delivered of the demon that's causing it, right? And often they like to hide, or they like to fake coming out. They can come out with signs like choking the person or throwing up or screaming or cursing or hissing or tearing the person or throwing them around. You know, I've seen all these things. Saw one woman thrown on the ground and wiggling like a snake. Everybody's eyes popped out because they couldn't think of a human could possibly do this. And the demons make them do things that they can't possibly do. But just command them to stop. And if they hide, command them to come forward. And then cast them out. They do hide. They want to hide. And then go on to the next one. The head demon sometimes pushes other demons forward to sacrifice them in hopes that he will escape. And this can be useful, of course, because when you get to him, he has no support. Sometimes they pass on the headship to other demons when they are cast out. And these head demons want to be the last one to be cast out. Sometimes you can cast them out and all of their followers out. They're generally the demons with more power and sometimes more evil. When demons are cast out of the person, they need instruction on how to keep them out, or they may come back worse, as Jesus said. Matthew 12:43-45 says, but the unclean spirit, when he is gone out of the man, passeth through waterless places, seeking rest, and findeth it not. Then he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this evil generation. Well, now notice what Jesus said. Notice that even the demons Jesus cast out in his generation came back sometimes. When the demons find a person empty, after they've received such grace from God, they can come back. A person should fill their life with the life of Christ through incorporating the Word into their life. They should become a disciple and a Spirit-filled disciple. They're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit and become a disciple of Jesus and not men. Men have something about being filled with the Spirit. Much of Christianity has never been filled with the Spirit because they don't believe in speaking in tongues or any of the other gifts, actually. So it can cost you to sit in one of those dead churches where they speak lies against the Holy Spirit. It can cost you dearly. So be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Word of God. Appreciate what God has given to you. Many people get demonized because of the church that they're in. You know, there is no fear of God in these once saved, always saved churches. So people go on and do what will eventually get them to be demonized. Because there's no fear. You don't have, you can do anything you want to do. You're still saved, so don't worry about it, right? You can even take the mark of the beast. Now, that's the best way to get demonized, I know, but you can do that because the mark of God is stronger than the mark of the beast, they say. So basically, you can do anything. And people that preach that, of course, are doing just that. They're doing anything. You will find that out. That's the reason they preach those things, is they can't preach above where they live. So they get demonized too, and they lead a lot of people to hell. Multitudes of Christians are going to take the mark of the beast and be tormented day and night forever and ever. Multitudes are, because they followed these men instead of the word. They never got in the word to find out if these things were true. Does it sound stupid that God would save you to continue to live in your sins? It certainly is, according to Romans 6. It doesn't make a bit of sense. It does not motivate anybody to be holy or walk in the steps of Jesus. So people get demonized, right? Anytime there's a doctrine, sometimes called doctrines of demons in the scriptures, does not motivate to holiness, righteousness, and purity, and the fear of the Lord, it's a doctrine of demons. And yes, there are demons whose profession is to deceive you. And they are called many times religious spirits. They're a spirit that actually keeps you in a religion where you cannot grow and where you receive false doctrines and bad examples, and you don't come into the revelation of a disciple of Christ walking in his steps. And so if the devil can't keep you out of Christianity, he can keep you out of Christianity. And he can use religion to do it, right? So I tell you, the safest place from demons and the place where you have power over demons is holiness, which means separation from sin. Sanctification is the same word. Sanctification is separation from sin unto God. That's what it is. If you're holy, if you're sanctified, you never have to worry about casting out demons. And you should be being used by God to do this. It's part of your job. A third of Jesus' ministry was casting out demons. It was very important. And he wasn't just doing this to appease the suspicions of early men. No, he was casting out demons, real demons. If you ever see it done, or if you ever do it yourself, you know what I'm talking about. There's a large part of Christianity that doesn't believe in demons, and that, of course, is a demon doctrine, because they don't want you to believe in them. Otherwise, you know you have an enemy, and you have to do something about it. No, they want you to believe it's you. Many people go through life following demons, and they just believe it's them. And that's what the demon wants, is for you to believe it's them. But we need to know what these demons do and what their nature is and why they are able to tempt us, because we don't have a love for the truth, or we have some idol in our life, something that we want more than we want God, in other words. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm sure that there are many brethren out there who have not ventured into this. The devil tries to make them fear or make them embarrassed, you know, but they need boldness. Lord, I ask you to fill the brethren out there with boldness to do this, to cast out demons. It's part of your work. It was commanded of you. It delivers people from a lifetime of turmoil and curse and sometimes totally being lost. And so we ask, Lord, that people will take seriously this little exhortation to go and do. And in going and doing, they will learn and you will teach them and they will become more and more capable in this. And it's not as though you can wait until you're perfected in this to start casting out demons. I was a baby Christian when I started casting out demons and was excited to know that the demons are subject unto us, just like the early disciples were. And I learned as I went, actually, as I studied the Master who shows us how to cast out demons. And so, Father, I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would push many people out into this gift. And, Lord, we know that a great outpouring of your Spirit is coming in the form of a revival from judgments that are about to fall on this world. And that the power of your Spirit will naturally empower people and embolden people to cast out demons. And they will learn very quickly because the Holy Spirit can give you instructions even though you may have never even heard them in the Word or exercised this at all. The Holy Spirit can empower. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And that is power over demons, power over flesh. Brethren, I don't believe every sin is a demon. I do believe that if a person gets into sin because of their flesh, the demons use their flesh and their sin to overcome them and to overcome everybody around them if they can. So I know that there's this suspicion out there that people cast out demons. They believe everything is a demon. And that's not true. You know, if you walk after the flesh, you must die. Demons simply take advantage of your flesh. They use your flesh against you. They empower your flesh. Whatever your temptation is, they will make it much greater. They will overpower you. They will use all this to destroy you. And like I say, people all around you. And you want to be one of those who is who has put on all the armor of God so that you can resist the devil. And he will flee from you because he fears you. But he only fears those few who have studied the Word and they understand this is our responsibility as a minister of God to cast out demons and understand that they have authority over demons. The devil does not want you to find these things out. And this, I know this is a very simple message today, but you got to start somewhere. And I know a lot of Christians who've never cast a demon out. And that shouldn't be that way. I mean, from the time you're a baby Christian, you can do it. Like the baby Christian that came up to this guy that was laying out in the street, having been shoved through a plate glass window, a door, plate glass door, by demons. And yes, they can do things like that. They can give supernatural strength. They can do physical things around your house. They can do physical things to thwart you. They can break your vehicles. We recently saw that happen to a person because they weren't believing in demons. And a demon was sitting right on top of the car and caused it to break down. So, yes, you need discernment. You know, study the Scriptures. Find out what Jesus did. Walk in his steps, right? Amen. And Father, too, we ask you to bless Michael Hare and all those who are listening, that they be blessed, that they be anointed, that they grow up in you. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Good night, saints. Bless you.